Good evening. Let's get started. We're running a little bit late today. I want to welcome everyone to our midweek services. This is the last lesson of our summer series of Biblical Women and Their Historic Influence. We're very fortunate to have with us this evening Kevin Montgomery. Kevin is from the Texas Institute of Biblical Studies. And I tell you what, this is one of the mission outreaches that Woodland Oaks helped support. This is a very, quote, progressive outreach, and I don't mean that theologically, but they're using video conferencing and reaching out to people in Latin America, South America, and in fact, Kevin may share some locations that would really shock you, areas in the Middle East and things like that that are utilizing these facilities. I'm not going to take any more time with this, but it's always a pleasure to have Kevin with us, and he's going to speak to us. He's going to give us a little update on TIGB and TIBI. I used to call it Texas Gulf Coast Bible Institute, and then they changed the name. Okay, and then after that, his topic is Mary Magdalene. Kevin?
Thanks, Leo. Good evening, family. It's so good to see your faces. This is a blessing to be back around. I always look forward to August and having the chance to come back and share with you a little bit about what God's doing through TIBI and things that are going on in our world, as well as share a little bit of time with you looking at God's Word. Let's see. On my PowerPoint, guys, do I just need to push the first slide? I'm not doing something right. Well, while we're waiting on the PowerPoint to come up, this evening, I want to share a little bit about things that are going on for the Institute. We've been blessed to be in our 10th year. We are continuing to grow, and things are continuing to open up in amazing ways. God's continuing to open up new doors, doing great things. And I'm thankful I get the chance to come share with you guys some things that you are doing, because you are very much part of our ministry, and you are very much part of the TIBI family, because you've been with us since the very beginning. And so it's really a great thing for me to come up here. It's just a joy. All right, thanks, guys. Let's see if I can do the right direction. All right. One of our exciting things that happened is last month we had our graduation ceremony. We had 7 graduates from various points throughout the world. It was a great evening, and we are thrilled that these guys have been sent forth to go preach the word. And they're going to be working in places in Mexico and in Venezuela and Chile and some other places. And so God is being glorified in their lives already, and we continue to hear back from them and the work that they're already doing. So that was a very exciting evening. One of our graduates sent something to me that I wanted to share with you guys. I thought it was just a really neat deal. We were studying through the book of Philippians this last summer, and I was teaching on, and one of our students sent me this in an email. He said, I made this slightly modified version of Philippians chapter 4 in tribute to your great effort and the love of God's work. And that's not just to us, but that's to the whole, you know, the church and those that are involved in TIBI's work. It says, this is directed to everyone who has given of their time and money, including my dear teachers who have shared with us a wealth of knowledge from the Scriptures. I didn't ask him to put that in there, I promise. This is, a modified version of Philippians chapter 4. It says, it was good of you to share in my preparation. Moreover, as you North Americans know, in the early days of my preparation, when I set out from Campeche, where he was living before, to plant a new church, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Escarcega, where he's at currently, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desired your gift. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I received from Kevin the gifts that you sent, I was the one who physically makes those transfers. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. In Christian love, your servant in Christ, Juan Bautista Maiche. And then I love his P.S. Please pray for me that I will not be punished for altering Scripture. And his PSS is not bad either. Just so that you know, I did not learn to do this at TIBI. Well, Juan's a great guy. He's doing great things for the kingdom. He's continued to be a great brother in Christ. And he, like all our graduates and our students, are so thankful for your involvement. You're making a difference in their lives, and they're making a difference in the lives around them. Right now, we're blessed with a lot of great students. This was the current students that are with us. As you can see, there's folks from all over the place. This is our second year students. They're continuing on. They've survived 1 year, and they're on their second year. And they'll be finishing up, Lord willing, next July. We've been blessed also this year with the largest incoming class of students that we've had. We are very excited about the new group that's coming in. We have our fifth scholarship class. We have 11 full-time scholarship students with us. Here's a few of them. We have a special group that's coming in from the city of Cuernavaca. I know some of you guys know Bob Odle, that used to be, I think, around here at one time. Church that's in the same town where he worked has been planted, and there are several new members there that have grown to a point that they're wanting to start passing over the baton to future Mexican leaders. And so they're going to be studying with us as a group to be able to take that work over and continue to serve the Lord. And these are those guys that Lord willing, in a few years, we'll be able to take the work over there at the church plant in Cuernavaca. And so we're excited about that. And we have another group that's something similar in the city of Arizmendi, Venezuela. There's five guys there as well that are studying with us, as well as some additional folks that don't receive scholarship, that are studying totally on their own dime. But they are so excited about the opportunity to study right where they're at in points throughout the world. And so we've got these guys that are full-time that receive scholarships from us and those that are studying from places in Mexico and in other parts of Venezuela and some other countries. They're all coming to study. So right now, we've got the largest group of students we've ever had. The school is growing. We have over 200 people that are users on our video conferencing network. And so right now, the school is flying at the best it's ever flown. It's exciting to watch. And all we say is, we're thankful, and God is good. Amen, all the time. Part of the things we get to involve our teaching is we get to teach some other Bible institutes. We're connecting through our video conferencing network. So not only do we have these full-time students, we have some part-time students that just take a class or two here or there. And then we have classes that we teach that are involving other Bible institutes. And so we get to influence other students that are not necessarily directly under our scholarships and things like that, but that take our courses, and also our students sometimes take courses from their professors. That way we kind of share and not reinvent the wheel. Another exciting thing that we got to do recently was back in the month of April, we were blessed with doing a special Saturday seminar in which we got to have Dr. Adolfo Reutemann, who's from Argentina. He is the curator of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So he is the guy that officially has the keys, I think, to the Dead Sea Scrolls in Jerusalem. And he logged onto our network and taught straight from Jerusalem one afternoon and one Saturday in April. And it was a fantastic study. We got to learn a whole lot about Jewish culture and a lot about the Dead Sea Scrolls and some things about the temple, and it was just a great thing. And so it was a great day, and just it was all possible because of the fact that we have these great connections with technology. So we've had some really exciting things that we're continuing to do, and God's opening more and more doors. We're trying to walk through as many as we can. The thing I want to leave you with, though, and I will be glad to answer more questions if you'd like, but as of now, our graduates are working in 29 churches throughout Latin America. They've planted an additional 24 churches. We started counting in 2009, how many people that were part of our network have been baptized. And through those that are teachers and professors and students, we count over, as of this last month, over 1,500 baptisms that come directly from the work that's related to TIBI. So we praise God for what he's doing in and through these lives of all those that are connected to the Bible Institute. And we give thanks again to you for being part of that. And we thank God is doing amazing, amazing things. So thank you for that. Let's pray, and then we'll continue on with our lesson. Father, you are good, and we're grateful. We give you praise, and we give you honor for all that you're doing throughout the world, things that we know about, things that we are completely clueless of, Father. You are worthy to be praised. Thank you for letting us be part of your plans and for letting us have an opportunity to use our gifts and abilities to spread the gospel, to increase your kingdom. Father, I thank you so much for this evening. I pray, Father, for your blessing upon this message tonight. Pray that your Spirit would work mightily in all of our hearts to make us more like your Son. Thank you so much for all you do in us and through us. And I pray it by the power and authority of Jesus. Amen. Well, quick question. Who is mentioned by name at the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection? It's a pretty short list. And I know you heard who the person is we're going to be studying tonight, right? Mary Magdalene is one. And there's one other person that's mentioned by name at all three places. Remember who that was? I think I heard it. Jesus' mother, Mary. The two Marys are the only people that we know of for sure were at all three of these major events. And tonight we're going to be spending some time talking about Mary Magdalene. And I think she's got a story to tell us. I think that she's got something to teach us. But I will tell you, if you're reading the news or reading blogs or reading online, there's a lot of junk out there regarding Mary Magdalene, okay? And you may have heard things and different stuff. Don't be alarmed. There's documents out there from the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 8th century that talk about Mary being Jesus' companion. For example, there's a Gnostic gospel called the Gospel of Philip and all this stuff that people refer to and think Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. And, you know, you've all seen Del Brown's stuff. So there's a lot of stuff out there. So what I want to do tonight is look at what does the Scriptures tell us? Who was Mary Magdalene? What do we actually know about her from Scripture? Well, first off, we know where she came from. Her last name, if we can say it, was Magdalene, from the city of Magdala. And Magdala was a small little town on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. So up there on the north, you can see Bethesda and Gennesaret. And the little circle there is where that was located. So there's a little picture of it with the sea in the background. So that's where she's from. She's from Galilee, not far from where Jesus did most of his ministry. In Luke chapter 8, we have our first entrance into what she's like, who she was, what she did. It says the following. After this, Jesus traveled about from town to town and village, from one village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, and then some others that were mentioned there. So apparently we find out, first off, she was with Jesus. She was came to Jesus and apparently was healed of having 7 demons. And so what's there is the very last phrase of that scripture there. It says, these women were helping to support them out of their own means. This woman, we know a lot about Jewish culture, and we know that women most of the time did not have much in the first century. And it's interesting she and other women were helping support Jesus' ministry. So she'd been cured of some demons, and she turned around and was helping support Jesus' ministry. Well, later on, the next time we see her called by name is Matthew 27, and all the other Gospels mention the same story. But it says, many women were there, and there means in front of the cross, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. So we find out from there that Mary is at the foot of the cross, watching all that's transpiring that day. Well, we keep reading that same scripture, and it says, Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Christ and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and placed it in his own new tomb that he cut out of the rock, and rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. So Mary stuck around. She was there for the crucifixion, and she was there for the burial to watch right where Jesus was laid. And then we find out, Sunday came. And where's Mary Magdalene? After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. She was there. So we find out that Mary was there from the crucifixion, the burial, resurrection. And that's the last time we have her by name. We do know, if you keep reading in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, about verse 14, it talks about that the group was there waiting for Pentecost. Remember that? And it says that the apostles were there and the women. So most likely Mary Magdalene was part of that group as well, even though she isn't listed by name. But after that, we don't know what happened to her. We don't know where she went. We'll have to ask her when we get home. But I think we have an interesting thing to learn from her. And I think there's some things we can take from what we do know about Mary's life that I think will challenge and encourage us. I think she's got a message to tell us. First off, she was saved by Jesus. It says in Luke 8 again that Jesus cast out 7 demons from Mary. Now, I'm telling you, I've never been in, you know, had demons inside of me that I'm aware of. And maybe you never have either. But reading in Scripture what that must have been like, that had to be rough. That had to be rough. And I don't know about your life. I don't know what kind of, if you'll let me say it, demons that maybe you've had. What kind of challenges you've faced. What kind of circumstances you've had to overcome. Some kind of habits. Maybe it's things that are difficult to fight against. Temptations. I don't know what's in your life. Satan attacks us from different angles, doesn't he? He knows our weak points. He knows what we're not good at. Just like Mary, praise God, we've got a Savior. Just like Mary, we have a chance to be rescued from the things that are in our life. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says that He Himself, talking about Christ, bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And I love this quote. By His wounds, you've been healed. And we know that in the passage, it's not talking about necessarily our physical well-being. It's talking about our spiritual health. By His wounds, we too have been healed, just like Mary was. Well, we keep learning from Mary. Not only did she was she saved by Jesus, she supported Jesus' ministry. And again, it's from Luke 8 that we mentioned a moment ago. What's interesting is you know, I don't know about your experience, but a lot of times whenever I try to help people, I get the, hey, thanks, and that's the last time I ever see them. And you might have had similar experiences. That was not the case with Mary. She could have said, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed, woohoo, I'm going to go my merry way. I hope you caught that pun. All right. So she didn't do that. She stuck around. And she contributed to Jesus' ministry. Now, as I was thinking through this, it reminded me when my wife was going to go to the AIM program, if y'all, I think most of y'all are familiar with the AIM program out of Lubbock, when she was just out of high school, the way she got to go to AIM, the way she found support, was she talked to I don't know how many widowlays who gave a couple of dollars here and $10 there and $25 there. And that's how she got to go. She spent time evangelizing, serving the Lord by support just like Mary gave. And I praise God for Marys. I think there's probably Marys in this congregation here too, doing great things, supporting God's ministry in ways that nobody else has any idea about. I thank God for you. I thank you for what you're doing. Mary made an amazing difference in Jesus' life. But also as I thought more about this idea of her supporting Mary, or her supporting Jesus' ministry, something occurred to me. All right, we don't know for sure, so let's just put that out on the table. We don't know for sure, but it's a very good likelihood that Mary was there whenever Jesus fed the 5,000. Okay, we know that she was walking with Jesus, listening to Him teach and things, and there's a good likelihood that she was there whenever Jesus fed the 5,000. So let's put you in Mary's shoes. You're sacrificing, giving out of your means to help support this ministry. And Jesus goes, and what's He do? He feeds 5,000 people with a sack of lunch. And you start going, wait a minute. Now why am I paying this stuff? Like, Jesus, come on. How about breakfast tomorrow morning, right? Why am I sacrificing and why am I giving when you can just pull that out of a hat? I don't know if she said that. I would sure be tempted to say that if I were in her shoes. And I think there's a principle there. You know, when you go online and you're buying something, or sometimes even at, you know, stores and things, they'll ask you what your preferred method of payment is. I think God's preferred method of payment is people. I think God's preferred method of payment is us. We have proof that Jesus could take a few pieces of bread and a couple of little scrawny fish and feed 5,000 people. He had the power. But why did he do it differently? I think because he prefers to use people. It's an amazing thought. God could send down money just randomly falling out of the sky if he wanted to, but he chooses to use people. And just like we were talking about earlier with the Institute, God could do great things, just miraculously opening up the floodgates of heaven and pouring down support on us. But God chooses to use people. And I'm grateful. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I love to watch God at work. And so I think Mary Magdalene also was used by God to support his ministry, even though he had the power and the availability to do amazing things. So Mary supported Jesus, and she supported his ministry. Kind of thinking through this a little bit, I want to challenge us again. I know you guys are involved very much in missions and things. This is about to fall off my head. All right. It's not staying. We'll see if I can balance it there on my ear. I'll stand like that. What all ways can we invest in Jesus' ministry? There's obvious things that y'all are already doing, and I'm grateful. I think something we often overlook, and this has been a verse that's been on my heart for the last little while. It says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." I think we need encouragement, don't you? I do. I think it's an important thing that we encourage one another. Just a simple word of affirmation, a simple word of encouragement, a simple, "Wow, that's fantastic. Man, you did a great job. I'm so thankful for you," can go a long way. And I want to encourage us today to try that. I'm going to give you a challenge for this week, just as the text says, but encourage one another daily. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your neighbor. I don't know. Try it for a week. Try it this week for 1 week to encourage one another daily. Find somebody to bring an encouraging word to this week. And I think that's going to be, just like Mary, investing in Jesus' ministry. But not only did she, was she saved by Jesus, she was also supported his ministry. And finally, she stayed with Jesus. And I think that's an amazing thought to me. As I think about Mary's life and what she did and what she didn't do. In Matthew 26:56, in the garden, when Judas comes, it says, "And all of the disciples deserted him and fled." And again, I don't think Mary was necessarily there physically at that moment. I think Jesus was with his other, the 12. But the rest of those chapters, we don't see really much of the disciples. There's a little hint of Peter and John. There's a place a couple of times that they're mentioned. But primarily, they're absent till Sunday. Mary stayed. And that's an impressive thing. Mary didn't run. Mary didn't leave. Mary stayed. As I've thought through the New Testament, I've kind of made, in my brain, a summation of the thrust of most of the epistles. Now, this is, again, this is a very generalization, but this is Kev's summary of the New Testament epistles, each one of them. I think you can pretty well say it's this: love God, love each other, and hang on. I think that's a lot. If you look at most of the scriptures in the New Testament, a lot of it has to do with those three points: love God, love each other, and hang on. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep putting up with each other, even when it's hard, and keep loving the Lord. And I think Mary exemplifies that thought. She did not give up. She did not give in. She continued to hang on. In the book of Colossians, we read the following passage. He says, "He has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." I love this phrase. I often try to tell people this. If you're one of the freak people, I just go up to them and tell them, you know what, if they're a brother in Christ, you are holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great thought? Do you think of yourself as being holy and blameless and beyond reproach? It's hard for our brains to get that. And I hope we can keep telling each other that. But what I wanted to mention about this is that's a true statement. But that's not the whole statement. The next verse continues on with a big word. A big, small word. If. It takes trust. It takes faith on our part. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you've heard. We are holy and blameless and beyond reproach. You are holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Let's not give up. Let's continue steadfast, firmly established, not losing our hope in the gospel. There's a lot of things that can cause us to walk away, I know, and our time is kind of closing up. I don't know what hits you. I don't know what causes you to doubt, whether it's fear or challenges or pain or circumstances or finances. God knows, I don't. But I want to encourage us tonight. We're holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And just like Mary, she saw some rough times walking with Christ. She saw some rough things being with Christ, but she held on. One of my favorite songs was written by Robert Robinson. It's an interesting story about him. At 17 years of age, he was part of a group of hoodlums that ran around London. And one evening they went to a church meeting for the purpose of what he said, quote, scoffing at those poor deluded Methodists, end of quote. So he ended up converting because of the things he saw at that meeting and eventually went into ministry. 5 years later, he wrote the following text. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Mary Magdalene never left her God. She, like Robert Robinson, asked, she held her heart like a fetter to him. I hope this year, as you start back in school and kind of get back into the swing of fall life and things, that this story of Mary Magdalene can encourage us, can bless us, and then we can learn from, as y'all have all summer, these women of faith. And I hope that Mary Magdalene's story, that she was saved and supported Jesus' ministry and stayed with Jesus, can encourage us to do the same. May God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. I understand there's a brother that's going to come up and lead us in a word of prayer. And so if you wouldn't mind coming up for it, God bless.